No, here the opposite home because there's no room here.
Okay, we're continuing in the Rambam. We're in the 12th chapter, the Laws of Shechinim, Halacha Aleph. Okay. We're going to talk about people with unique rights to parcels of land. We start the first halacha with a relatively easy halacha, but it gets much more complicated as we move into this, but nothing very hard. So the first is a simple halacha that nobody should have any problems with.
Oh, that's
Ha'achin, brothers, or ha'shutfim, or partners, shubo, lachlok, esasoda, they come to divide up a piece of field. Valitol, kolechot, chelkot, everyone wants to get their portion of the field. And right now, case number one is a very simple case. Im ha'isa, kula, shav, if the entire expanse of the field is equally good, every square inch is the same quality of land, how big the field is. Ve'ein shamakom tov, there isn't a better place of this area of the field, umakom ra, or a worse part of the field. It's all the same. Ela hakol echad. You just look as far as you look, this piece of field, wherever it is, there's nothing better, nothing worse. So obviously, how do we divide it up once we're coming to divide it? Chokim lefi amida bevad. We divide it only based on the physical measurement. If it's 100 square feet and there's two partners, that everybody gets 50 square feet. That's it. There's nothing big to discuss. You divide it in half. If there's 10 people, partners, whatever, percentages, whatever, you just divide it up. And there's very little to talk about. That is the obvious halacha. However, now we set this up for the second halacha. Now, v'imamar echad mehem. If one of the two says to the other one, let's say there's two, Tenuli chelki bitzad zeh, I would like to have, let's say, the right side of the field. They're both the same, but I'd like to have the right side of the field. Why? Because I happen to have another field that's adjacent to the right side of this field, and it would be very helpful for me that I could have two, what's the word?
Adjacent
fields. Contiguous fields. So that it should be next to the one that I have. It doesn't matter to you which side you have. We're assuming the other guy does not have a field next door to it. And now I have one long contiguous field, and everything's equal the same anyway. So what's the halacha? We listen to the fellow. The other guy says, no. Well, you know, that's going to say, well, what's it worth it to you? Nothing more. You know, that's the way in the secular world, right? If they know you want it, all of a sudden now you got to pay more for it. That's the goyish way of looking at things. But here we're saying, listen, it's split it in half. It doesn't really matter, Martin, which half you have. You don't have any other part. But
I
me,
don't
it makes
anymore.
A big difference.
Makes
I got a field
difference.
Right next to
right
it.
Okay.
It's not going to make a difference to you.
Nope.
So we could force you. She'ikuv bedavar zeh. Forcing this, we say, is if you hold a guy back from getting a field, we would say, Zamita stomi. It's attribute of stone. So there's a lot of sodomite business practices that go in this world. Once people know you want it, then all of a sudden they want you to pay more for it. That's not so because it doesn't make a difference to you. And if it makes a difference to the other person, there's no reason to have to charge more or anything. And that's how it's done. So this is all when the property is of all equal value all around. It doesn't make any difference to anybody except to me that I'm the guy next door to it. I will benefit, you won't lose. We force that upon the other fellow. Now it gets a little bit tricky. Avolim ha'ya, third case. Avolim ha'ya chelek echad nimena tov. Let's say one, let's make it simple. Let's say one side, let's say the right side of the field happens to be a much better part of the field. Or let's say it's better, Korav Lenorius, or it's closer to the river, which is going to make it a better field. Or Korav Lenorius, or closer to the road. Okay, so one part of the field, for whatever reason, is better. And let's assume it's not like 50-50. Let's just say, V'samol sahayofas, what are we going to do? We're going to assess the better quality property, King Agadara, versus the not such good quality. So let's just say, for example, the way we would divide it could be a million and one ways. Let's just say simple. Let's say that the quality part of the property is 40% of the entire area. And the not quality part, to be equal in value, let's say it's 60%. So let's just use those numbers for the sake of argument. So 40% of the field is a better quality, smaller amount of land. 60% is not as good quality, more land. But it turns out at the end of the day, it's worth the same amount of money. That would be an equitable division. Now comes the guy who happens to have a field next door to the part over here. So now he comes, Ve'omar, And the guy says, Tenu li b'shuma shali mitzad ze. I'm willing to take, well, it could be either way, but I'd like that part next to my field. Right. Now, it really could be, I'd like the lesser amount of land, the better quality next to my land, or the worse amount of land, but more land next to my land. So on the surface, you might say, well, it shouldn't make a difference to the other guy because they're getting equal value.
Right.
And we should assume the guy would be forced to comply and allow the guy to pick which one of the two that's next to his property.
Nope.
Here we don't say that. Ain't show me, don't listen and force this. Mm-hmm. You draw lots because there's as upsides and downsides to each way. There's some guys who prefer a smaller field of greater quality, and another guy would prefer a larger field of lesser quality because there could be different things you could do with more space versus less space. And therefore, we really, unless people come to an agreement before, but quite often they may not come to any agreement, even if there isn't any land next door, and you draw lots. Whichever one gets, you know, and that's the fair way. So the same thing over here, you might say, well, what's the matter? Well, listen, you know, I might like it the other way. Now, of course, if everybody agrees to it, that's fine. But if each one says, no, they both want that one that's next to that guy's land, for whatever reason, they both like to have the smaller field, whatever. So now the guy does not have a right to force it because it could make a difference. When the field is completely the same, it doesn't make a difference to you. But here, one is clearly a different type of field than the other, though the financial value is the same, that he could stand up and we just draw lots and we cannot force it upon them. Now, what if now the guy who has the contiguous field is willing to take a loss on this? He'll say like this, really, it should be 40% the better field, 60% the worse. I'll tell you what I'll do. The worser field is next to my spot. I'm not going to take 60%. I'm going to take 50% of the worse field, and I'll give you the other 50%, which includes 40% of good field plus an extra 10% of worse field. You're going to get a better financial deal no matter how we swing it.
Wow.
As long as we're going to divide the field equally, and you're getting clearly the better part in area and in value. If he says that, Amr Lahem, Tenu li chatzi midosamin, etc., give me half of the land, but from the worst side, so I financially lose, below shum, without accurate assessment that it's equal value, Vitola tomin atzaratov, and you now take from the better side, and you're going to get more money out of this. And why am I doing this? So that my portion, the worst portion, should be near my field. So Rambam says, Horu mixas agonim, some of the gonim render sheshomila, we listen to the fellow. Ulazet daiti note, and my position is inclined in that direction. Vechein roi lodun, and this is the way we should make the judgment.
Ooh.
Now, that seems to be reasonable, because again, what's the downside for the other guy? The other guy, listen, it's not like you have any smaller field. You've got an equal land field. You're getting more money out of this.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for you not to want to take that deal. And even if you're, you know, so that's why this, we would force it upon him, because there's no reason for him to not want that.
Is half the key amount? If you had 60%?
I'm just using numbers. But no, he's saying we're dividing it equally, and you are clearly, it's the same measure of land, and you're clearly getting a much more valuable parcel of land.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But he could offer him 50.
He can even offer him more.
But he,
no, he can't offer less.
It can't be less.
He can't offer less. It can't be, well, I'll give you 40. It's got to be at least equal amount, because now, because sometimes you'd like to have more property.
But it's still more than the 40.
But it's less than 50%.
Okay.
So that's why you got to say, listen, in terms of area, we're equal. If we're not in terms of area, guys, listen, I'd like to have more land. I have more kids I want us to divide it up on. But I'm saying the area is equal now. Then that, you know, everybody has to agree with the land is equal and you're getting more money, then what's to argue over here? Okay, now we're going to discuss, again, one easy halacha, one that's not a chiddush, one is a chiddush. When there are two types of people who are entitled to inherit a double portion. The obvious one is a bechor. A bechor always gets a double portion. There's other ways we can configure out a double portion, the following. Let's say there were a couple brothers. One brother died without having children. Okay? Now, the surviving brother, and there's other brothers still, surviving brother does yibum.
Yep.
Okay? Now, what happens subsequent to that, the father of all these brothers dies. So now what happens? Well, the brother who did Yibum, he gets one portion. The other brother who died, he gets the surviving brother who did Yibum gets his portion too.
Two, right.
Now, you might make a mistake and think that's a double portion like the Bechor. Mm-hmm. And the Rambam is going to say not. A double portion of Bechor means when it's a Bechor, it's one big portion that's doubled. So it's considered one portion of Bechor, but it's twice as big as everybody else. So therefore, when we're talking about three or four, let's say for the sake of argument, three brothers.
Right.
Okay? And there's four pieces of land.
Okay.
Okay? And some are together and some aren't.
Right.
So when the Bechor gets to inherit a double portion, he will be able to inherit two pieces of land that are contiguous because he's entitled to one big portion. However, the brother who inherits from the other brother, that's not considered a Bechor that he gets. He gets two portions, and he doesn't have a right to have two together. While the Bechor, who's getting two to begin with, the understanding is, well, what does it help to get two separate ones?
Yeah.
While brothers, you get one. Your brother, had he not died, would have been four separate portions. You could pick up his, but you don't have it as the right as a double portion together in one thing. Exactly. And the way you get it, that's the way you get it. So the Bechor got it not from anybody else. He gets it directly a double portion. This brother from the deceased brother, he's getting an extra portion, but as a separate extra portion, and is treated as such. So let's just see the Rambam first, and then we'll take questions. Ha-Bechor she-cholak, and when a Bechor is part of the division process, notel shnei chalakim shelo ke-echod. He gets his two portions as one.
Right.
These two are considered one. Comes out from the Pasuk, it says, remember when the hated brother, hated son, and the not hated wife, and the not hated wife, etc., it says he's given pi shnayim. He's given two portions as one. Now, you have to remember, fellows, we're talking about pieces of land that are not equal in value, but we do it through assessment.
Okay.
In other words, when there's four portions, one's bigger, one's smaller, one's a better quality, one's a better, because if they're all the same, then forget it. Then it doesn't matter how you get it, why not give the other guy two portions? Right? Because it doesn't matter. If it's just one huge amount of land, and it's exactly all the same.
Like the first case.
Then who cares? Right. Even if he's not a Bechor, he's entitled to have two portions next to each other, because nothing's different than anything else.
Right.
But here we're talking where the lands are definitely different lands. And one's a bigger piece of land, but it's more valuable per square inch. And one's not as big land, and we have to give them out piecemeal. So that's what we're saying, that the Bechor, even though they are separate types of lands, he's still entitled to one portion. He gets two pieces of land next to each other, regardless of what the how similar they are to each other. But the brother who does the Yibum to the deceased brother's wife, Shechalak Imachav, who now divides with his brothers, B'nichseav, when the father of the brothers dies. So he gets his portion and the brother's portion, and the properties are of different values, and they have to be assessed accordingly. V'notal Chako, he gets his portion for himself, V'chelak Achiv, and his brother's portion. Everything is Begoral, everything is divided in a lottery. In other words, let's say nobody died. And there were four, and there were, what's that? It was no Bechor, let's say. There's three brothers. We do a Goral. We don't know. Why do we decide one gets over the other?
Yeah.
Do a girl. So now all four, since there's no, get thrown into a pot, you pick a lot, and whichever two he gets, he gets. If he happens to be lucky, he pulled two out, and they happen to be the contiguous one, Alu, he gets it. If they come from two separate parses, Alu, he gets the two separate parses. Again, we're speaking where the properties are not similar all throughout, because then it doesn't matter. We don't have to do a goral. But if they're different properties, it makes a difference. Each one might want a different one, therefore he has a goal. Yes, first question.
Just when the Shvatim got out.
That's a different story.
But Ephraim and Menashe were essentially.
Well, that's a whole different thing. That was from Hashem, and that wasn't through the laws of Nachalo.
Is
so that's
the Bechor double size?
Who?
Or is the Bechor portion
he gets
double size
twice
double
the value. If there is $400 of property, he's okay. Entitled to $200 of property.
So it could be a smaller piece of land because it's more valuable. But, it's a
but he
value.
Gets two portions that are contiguous.
Right.
And he would want to have two that are contiguous.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. Now we go to number three. Some of you may have a little picture over here, and yes, some of you may not. Okay? We're going to speak about a land that's going to be divided up by two people. And this piece of, let's imagine your mind a rectangle, okay? A rectangle. On two of the borders, we have a river, and that is very good. Let's say on the, well, and on two other sides, we have a road, which all have value. A river, it's good to be next to a river, it's good to be next to a road. Depending on how you divide the land up, one guy could be next to more river, and the other guy less river, and the other guy could have more road, the other guy has less road. So let's see the case over here. Eretz Merubas, a square or rectangular piece of land. Shehoya Hanor Makiflo Mizrach V'Tzofen. The river is adjacent to it on the east and on the north. V'Haderech, and the road is Dorum Amarav. It's south and it is west. Now, if you're looking at that, normally you would divide a field straight down the middle in two little squares, two smaller squares or two small. That's a normal way you parcel off land. But if you do that, that ain't going to be equitable. No. Because when you parcel it off, one guy's going to have, you know, like 65% or whatever is going to be of river, and the other, or 66%, the other's going to have 33% river, the other's going to have 66% road, the guy 30% road. How do we divide it? Each get 50% of both. Only one way to do it. So we say, Chokhan is abalachs, and you cut it in a triangle. When you cut it across at an angle, see then kedesh yagil lezen nohar v'derech v'derech ulezen v'derech, then each one gets an equal amount of river and road. That works out really nicely. V'imamar, and if the guy says tnu li hachetzi shimitzad zesh hu bitzad sodi. Now let's say now we've made two triangles, right?
Yeah.
Now it just so happens one of the brothers, he has a piece of property. Now the question is who gets this triangle. Now, the triangles are equal. Let's say the triangle, the property is equal. Everything's equal, but it just happens to be what's next to it. Now, the guy says, listen, I happen to have a field that has me next to this triangle and not next to that triangle. So I'd like to have this triangle. So, v'imamar tenuli achetzi shimitzadza, I'd like to have this triangle. Shubitzad sodi, because it's next to my field. Shomim lo, we listen to him, because it's no different than before. Klolo shel dover, the overall rule is, kol dover shu tov lasev, it's good for one fellow. Val chavera, v'ayin al chavera, hefzakal, and the other guy has no loss at all. Kaifin asalas, we force him to do it. This is assuming that the properties are similar in every way. If there already would be differences, one is more valuable than the other, well, we're not cutting triangles already, and then we'd have to look into other issues over here. Now, from Halacha Dalid until the end of the parak, we now shift totally into the subject of Bar Metzra. Bar Metzra means where somebody is selling a field. When I sell a field, I can sell it to anyone I want, provided that there is no one, that the person next to me is not interested in buying the field. The Torah gives a priority to anyone who owns a field next to my field, that if I sell my field, I and he wants it, he has the first right of refusal.
Right, first right, I have to offer it.
It has to be offered at the same amount of money I would get on the market value if I'd be selling to anybody. It'd have to match any honest price. We're not talking about people cheating over here, and you know, you get cheat and tell this guy, yeah, I'm going to pay $50 million for it, and I'll match the price, but it really wasn't. We're talking about honest people over here.
It's like a free agency.
A Bezdin would determine what's the fair market value, and the guy says, I'd like you to sell it to me. Now, could be he hates that guy's guts.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, maybe because, maybe that's the reason he's selling it. It's not wasn't easy guy to deal with. Doesn't matter.
Wow.
If you want to leave, because if you sell it, you were going to get $500 for the field to a stranger.
Right.
So now the enemy wants $500, so what's it to you? Give him the $500. We'll see the source for that. The Ram will tell us in a few halachas. The Torah says, do what's just and proper. To you, all you really want is $500. You're selling, you're moving out. You want $500. The guy next to you is willing to give you $500. Now, we're assuming all the terms and everything's the same. We're not assuming this guy is coming forth with, well, and I'll pay you in 6 years and this and that. No, the guy's got to give you the exact terms you could get on a sale. I could get the $500 cash. Now, if you want to give me that, even though I, you know, he because of him, I'm leaving for whatever reason, whatever. Doesn't matter. He's entitled to that. Because at the end of the day, what is it that you want? You want money for your property. Yes. That does not give you the right to sell it to who you want to sell it to. All right? You think, well, I could... No, you can't. You have a right to sell it to make an honest profit or whatever it's worth, but you don't have the right to hurt another person when it doesn't matter to you.
Right.
So you have limited ownership because, after all, everything belongs to God. And God's just letting you use it while you're happening to use it. Now, he said, I don't need this field anymore. Very nice. So God will decide how you have to get rid of it. And there's a guy next to you who really wants it. So God wants you to sell to that guy, but you shouldn't have to lose any money.
Want to sell to your brother. You got a neighbor gets it.
Okay, well, we'll have to see if there's exceptions to that. We'll have to see if that would fit into the exceptions. There can always be exceptions to every rule. We'll have to see if that is an exception.
Shalom Bites.
Right, this assumes your name is a Jew, right?
And we're going to talk about that too, because we're going to talk about what if you want to sell your property to Goy. You're not really allowed to do that.
No, Howard's asking if your neighbor is a Goy.
I understand. Well, the neighbor doesn't have the laws of Bar Mitzvah. He's not. We don't have to.
Well, he hasn't had a Bar Mitzvah.
Bar Mitzvah.
Oh, okay.
Remember, the Jewish people are one big happy family, so we have to let any other one in our family be treated properly. Right. Goyim are not part of our families. So we will see. Let's just go slowly, each halacha as it fits. So let's start, first of all, with brothers who are dividing up land. We're not going to talk about strangers now. We're going to talk about brothers or partners. Echad mina achin, let's say one of the brothers, mina shutfim, or one of the partners. Okay, so they own the property jointly, and this guy got his property. They divided up. I get the west field, you got the east field, whatever. Now, one of the brothers, after was divided, shemachar chelko le'acher. He's selling his portion to a stranger. Now then, misalkin, we can get rid of him. Esalokech, we get rid of the purchaser. Vinosalon, we give it. Sha'ar achim, to wave it to one of the other brothers, or shor ashut from other partners. Domim shenas. In other words, let's say Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and each property is worth $500, and right next to each other. And Reuven decides to sell his property to Levi for $500. So now Shimon can go to Levi and say, here, Levi, I know you bought the field. That's very nice. Here's $500, and I'm taking the field.
Good.
Guy says, no, Reuven told me. Too bad. Reuven really should have asked me first.
Yeah.
He didn't ask me first. We were partners or brothers or whatever, and I'm right next door. And no way he can sell you. You have no right to buy it. He had no right to sell it. Now here's $500. Now leave and give me the thing.
And the Beis Din will back him up.
For sure. Ve'hoylech, and get out of here. Why? Because we don't want a stranger to be here. In other words, we're two brothers. I like my brother being next to me, or we're two partners. I want my brother next to me. Now you go and sell it to somebody else. I don't want that. It's not good for me at all. And now you have to go to meet the price. So now he pays the money. Too bad. And now he gets it. That is the most logical one. That was the given. Now, hey, goes to what I was telling you. The load, and not only if it's relatives or partners. Let's say you have a piece of land, and the guys next to you are not your brothers and are not your partners. They're strangers who are neighbors to you. And now you sell your property to a person who isn't in the neighborhood. Now, Yesh Lachavera, the neighbor now, who just finds out about this, Shehu Bitzad HaMetzah Shalo, who's next door to the property that he just sold, he can do the same thing. He can give money to the purchaser, Ulasalek, and to remove him even against his will. Okay? Ulasalek S, it should be Ulasalek Oso. It should say Oso, not O, it should say Oso. And remove him. Vizeh, and now this guy, Halokeach Harokoch, Harokoch, so the guy who's the buyer, who's from far away, you know what his effectively is? He Kiilu Shaliach Shobet HaMetzah. He's like an agent of the guy who's next door.
Whoa.
Where it's Reuven and Shimon, our neighbors. Reuven sells to Levi. So when Levi takes the money, he's like a shliach for Shimon, who says, it's like I'm taking the money. When Reuven gave him the money, it's like he's giving it, now we'll just sell it to Reuven. So it's like his shliach when he bought it. Even though Reuven will say, I didn't want you to get it. The last person I wanted was my neighbor to get it because I hate his guts. Too bad. You sold to a stranger. That stranger effectively is like the shliach for the neighbor who buys it from him. Bein shemachar hu, doesn't matter if he sells it. Bein shemachar shlucha, doesn't matter if his agent sells it. It's sold by the first fellow. Bein shemachar bezdin, doesn't matter if the bezdin even sells it. They've got to, let's say the guy goes to bezdin, he doesn't tell bezdin he's got a neighbor. And bezdin went and sold to third party. Doesn't matter. The deal's off. And if the neighbor wants to buy it, doesn't matter who sold it, wow, he is entitled to buy it. And effectively, whoever sold it became his messenger for him to buy it. Yesh bo din, this is a halacha, ben hametzer. He's called the ben hametzer, the guy who's the neighbor. It's called in Gemara terminology, bar metzra. Afin, look how far this goes. Look how far we let the neighbor get first rights. Afilo hayel okeach tamachom. Let's say the purchaser who lived far away was a Torah scholar. Ooh. This shachan, and he lived in the neighborhood, but not next door. Vikarov, and he's even a relative.
Ooh.
So you sold it to your brother, who lives one block down the road, who's the gadol hador. Now, Vikarov lamocher, to the seller, and the other guy, let's look at the other guy's profile. Ubed Ametzer, the neighbor, he's an Amoritz, he's an ignoramus, he's not such a good person. Rachok, he's not relative at all. Right? But the only thing he is going for him, he's got the property next door.
Whoa.
Ben Hametzer called him. The person started getting it. So now you want to sell to your brother? You can't. Because it goes to the person who's next door. And the Salik is lokech and removes the purchaser. Vidover's then, what's the logic behind this? Mishum, because the Torah says, it says in Sefer Dvarim, Shenemar, Vasisa HaYoshor VeHatov. You do what is straight and what is good. The Amr HaChem and the rabbi said, Ho'il v'amecher echeru, since the price of the sale is to the seller. It's the same thing. So even though it's your brother, at the end of the day, you just want to have money. That's the real thing. Tov v'yosher, it's right and proper. She'yikne mokum zeb ben ametzer, let the guy who's next door get to buy it. Yoser min arachel, more so than the person who's a distance away. See, even though this guy's your brother, but your brother doesn't have to have this property.
Right.
Why does your brother have to get it? So your brother does not have more rights because he's your brother than a guy who owns the property. So it's more fit and proper. The guy next door should get this property. Now, what if Hayu Bnei HaMetzer Rabim? Let's say there's many neighbors. Let's say there's three neighbors on three sides. He sells it to a stranger. Kulam Zochin Bezua said that all three of them are able to split up that field. Hanim Keres, Vibedem, it's behind them. Lefinu Minyanim, depending on how many there are. Let's say he had three neighbors and he sold to a stranger. They say, forget it. We want it and we'll pay you and we'll divide it up into three bits and we all get a little bit bigger field. Obviously, if they want it. Let's say only two want it, then two pay for it. If only one wants it, what? Nobody wants it, then he can take it.
Okay.
They take from the money to the purchaser and they pay him for it. But who but that? But when do all three, whatever, neighbors get an equal shot at it? They all come at the same time.
Wow.
What if one guy was sharp, one neighbor was awake and realized what's going on, the other two are schluffing, they're out of town.
Out of town.
The one guy says, I'll pay you out. Then he gets it all. He gets it all. Since it's a neighbor. Because the main thing is somebody should get it. Not that all three have to get it. One guy should get it. If a couple of them come, and a couple in another country. I don't even know what's going on over there. Doesn't matter. Misalkin also elu she'omdim kam bevar. Only the ones who are here, remove the guy, and the other guys, too bad. Elam and they get it. Let's just finish. Let's say the guy has three neighbors, but he directly sells it to one of the three without telling the other two. Even though he's not a partner in him, Zohar gets it because he sold it to a guy who's next to him.
Right.
You don't have to start making everybody happy as long as you're making somebody happy. And the other partners or sharper than Metzer, none of the other neighbors are allowed to take it away from him.